Down on the surface, Brandon sneered. Thornberry shot him a dark scowl. Now, about the landing team, Jordan said, hoping to forestall an argument. I've decided to go myself. Bran, you're our planetary astronomer. I think you're an obvious choice. And you, Harmon, you're our astrobiologist.
I could go, said Paul Longyear, the biologist. Professor Meek could stay in real-time link with me.
No, 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 Meek said, wagging a forefinger vigorously. I'll go to the surface myself. You stay here and monitor the biosensors, Paul.
Longyear looked crestfallen, but said nothing. Rank hath its privileges, Jordan thought, a little surprised that Meek was so insistent on going himself. His estimation of the man rose a notch.
I want to go too, said Elise.
She was sitting beside Brandon, as usual. Gently, Jordan said, I'm afraid we won't need an astrophysicist on this jaunt. Later, once we know more about what's going on down there, we'll set up a permanent base and we'll all go to the surface.
Elise was obviously unhappy with Jordan's decision, but Brandon looked relieved. Jordan decided to keep Thornberry on the ship. The roboticist had launched two additional rovers to different points on the planet's surface, and they were performing perfectly well, sending up reams of data. The two defunct rovers near the laser site remained quite dead, to Thornberry's exasperated disgust.
Mitch, you'll be our mission controller, Jordan told him. Our contact with the ship.
Thornberry's heavy-jowled face contorted into an apologetic frown. I hope I can keep in touch with you better than those two blasted deadbeats.
What about me? Hazard asked from the far end of the table. Why can't I go with you?
We need you to run the ship, Jeff, Jordan told him.
Hazard nodded acquiescence, but his expression was far from pleased. He pointed out, I could fly the plane that's already down there back to the ship, maybe recover the rovers while I'm at it.
You can do that from here, remotely, said Jordan, once we've reactivated the rovers.
Guess so, Hazard muttered.
If something should go wrong down on the surface, Jordan added, you'll be in charge of the ship, Jeff. You'll have to make the decision about what to do next.
Dead silence. None of them wanted to face such a possibility.
Pointing to Silvio DeFaia, the geologist, Jordan said, We'll need you on the team, Silvio.
DeFaia, short, swarthy, with a trim dark beard tracing his jawline and large brown eyes, nodded wordlessly, but his smile spoke volumes.
That's it, I think, Jordan said. The four of us. Any questions? Suggestions?
There were plenty, and Jordan patiently let everyone have his or her say. Finally, when the comments became patently repetitious, he concluded,
Very well, then. This afternoon we check out the landing vehicle, and tomorrow we go down to the surface.
His dreams that night were confused, jumbled, yet somehow menacing. Jordan saw himself in the beautiful, deadly Vale of Kashmir once again. But he was all alone. None of the team that should have been with him were there, not even Miriam. He was toiling down a dirt road that seemed endless, alone, not another soul in sight. Slowly, as gradually as summer wasting into autumn, the air began to thicken. It grew darker and harder to breathe. Jordan was choking, gasping, staggering as he tried to catch his breath, coughing up blood. He snapped awake and sat up in bed, soaked in cold perspiration.
Nerves, he told himself. You'll be all right once you get down to the planet's surface.
Still, he felt cold despite his compartment's climate control. His hands were trembling. He lay back on the bed and tried to think if there might be something he'd forgotten in his preparations for the landing.
Four of us, he recounted. Planetary astronomy, astrobiology, and geology. Plus me, their fearless leader.
Four will be enough. If something goes wrong, if we die down there.
He squeezed his eyes shut and tried to remember a quote from Shakespeare. What was it, from Henry V? Something about, if we are marked to die, we are enough to do our country loss. And if to live, the fewer men, the greater share of honor.
Honor. We're not going down there for honor.
Then for what?
He almost laughed.
For curiosity. To poke into the unknown.
No, it's more than that, he realized. Brandon's right. Something, Or somebody is down on that planet, and whatever or whoever it is, it apparently wants to meet us. And I want to meet it, whoever or whatever it might be. There's nothing down there that could kill us. At least I don't think there is. Nothing we know of. The sensors haven't shown us anything dangerous. But what conked out the rovers? The unknown can be dangerous, he reminded himself. Briefly, he thought about taking a tranquilizer, but instead turned resolutely on his side and commanded himself to sleep. He felt dreadfully alone. Departure. Put on a good air, Jordan told himself as he showered. Exude confidence. Keep your fears to yourself. They're unreasonable anyway. Whenever you have nothing to do, the memories gang up on you. Get out there and get to work. Summon up the action of the tiger. He gave a cheerful greeting to the handful of people already eating their breakfasts in the wardroom. Brandon was nowhere in sight, nor Elise. Meek came in, smiling happily. Good morning, all, said the astrobiologist. It's a good day to go exploring, isn't it? Jordan wondered if Meek was putting on a false optimism, too. Breakfast finished, Jordan and Meek made their way down to the bowels of the ship, to the hangar deck where the landing vehicles were housed. The feeling of gravity was noticeably lower here, closer to the ship's center line. Three sleek, silvery delta-winged rocket planes stood side by side inside the big metal-walled hangar space. One side of the hangar was an airlock large enough to accommodate a rocket plane. Jordan saw that one of the four parking spaces was empty where the plane that had already been sent to the surface had once been. One of the planes gone, he thought, and this is only our third day here. Their footsteps echoed off the metal deck and the bare hangar walls as Meek and Jordan approached the nearest rocket plane. Jordan could see his brother's face through the windscreen of the vehicle's cockpit. Eager as a puppy, Jordan thought. If it were up to Bran, we would have flown down to the surface yesterday, or even the night before, ready or not. Clambering through the plane's hatch, Jordan made his way toward the cockpit, hunching slightly because of the low overhead. Meek, gangling right behind him, had to duck even lower. The plane's interior smelled new, unused. That will change, Jordan told himself. They squeezed through the cargo bay, where a spring-wheeled excursion buggy big enough to carry six people was stowed, together with a pair of inert robots. I hope they work better than the rovers, Jordan thought. The cockpit had six reclinable chairs. Brandon was already ensconced in the pilot's seat, and the central screen of the control panel showed Jeff Hazard's dark, unsmiling face. I'll be standing by at the remote control panel here in the bridge, Hazard was saying. Your vehicle's programmed to land itself, but I'll be right here in case there's any problems. Brandon nodded briskly. How much of a lag time is there between you and this ship? Hazard's eyes flickered once, then he answered, Microseconds. If I have to take over, you won't even notice a lag. Good. Ready to go? Jordan asked. Brandon turned around in the chair and broke into a big smile. Now that you two are here, Jordy? Meek, hunched over so much that his hands were clasping his knees, asked, Where's Defia? Back in the equipment bay, checking out our biosuits and the other gear. Thornberry's going over the buggy remotely from the bridge. Shouldn't Defia be here when we take off? Meek asked. He will be, Brandon said. As if on cue, Silvio Defia ducked through the hatch, his dark liquid eyes large and round, his teeth flashing as he smiled brightly. Field equipment checks out, he reported. Thornberry says the buggy's ready. We're good to go. All right, then, said Brandon. Everybody sit down and strap in. Jordan slipped into the right-hand seat beside his brother. A tiny control yoke poked out from the instrument panel in front of him, and a console, studded with levers and switches, sat between the two seats. As he pulled the safety harness over his shoulders, he wondered if he should remind Brandon that he shouldn't touch any of the controls. The ship flies itself, he knew, and Jeff can take over if he has to. He decided not to mention it. Brandon seemed happy as a kid in a toy store. Why spoil his fun? Turning slightly in his chair, Jordan saw that Meek and Defia were in the two seats behind him, fastening their safety harnesses. Eagerly, Brandon said to Hazard's image on the display screen, You can start the countdown, Jeff. Hazard nodded gravely, then said,